Multi-platform app development using .NET MAUI with David Ortenau.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And as an aside, I'm doing a lot of online user group speaking lately, and if you run a .NET or Azure-related user group, then I'd love to give a presentation for you. And our sponsor for today's episode is ClearMeasure, and they are a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. So if they can help, go ahead and give them a call. And also, final announcement, be sure to check out the new video show, Architect Tips. You can submit a question and it may be selected for an architect tip. And so I'd like to welcome our guest for today's show. Our guest is David Ortenau, and he is a principal program manager for the .NET client apps team at Microsoft. And they are focused on Xamarin Forms, .NET MAUI, and other things. And he's been a .NET developer since 2002, and he's versed in a range of programming languages. He's developed web, environmental, mobile experiences for a wide variety of industries. And after several successes with tech startups and running his own software company, he joined Microsoft to follow his passion, crafting tools that help developers create better app experiences. And when not at a computer or with his family, he's running trails through the woods. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Good, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. That was a great intro.
Well, yeah, I painstakingly wrote every word. So,
yeah, I'm sure. I have to actually mention my family in those intros because when I am running through the woods, they're like, "Where have you been?" But yeah. It's always good to get out, especially in times like these.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And for those not familiar with you or all the tons of repositories on your GitHub profile. For those just kind of being introduced to you for the first time, why don't you share some of the highlights of your journey? You've been going on 2 decades now as a developer, yeah, or even more. So, what were the highlights kind of leading up to Microsoft and then to the MAUI team?
Yeah, so I've been with Microsoft for almost 4.5 years now, officially 4 years last month. And that's because I had a little contract before then, but I was still doing the same job as a program manager with the team. So I like to count that also. That was some hard-fought learnings in the early days of what the heck am I doing and how do you do anything at Microsoft? So I actually did not start out with like a computer science background at all. Although I was the kid in school that always had the computer. I never had the Commodore 64, so I never got into that stuff. Then a neighbor had that, and I was super jealous. Wasn't jealous of having to choose which game to play based on how long it took to boot.
Right.
You know, 15 minutes to boot this one. It's like, oh, I don't have 15 minutes to wait, man. My mom says I got to be home. But no, I did tinker with the computer a lot. And I thought, wow, this coding thing would be cool back in like junior high school. So we're talking like late 80s, mid to late 80s. And, but I didn't think I was any good at it is the thing. So when I went to college, I went for communications. So I have a BA in English from Maryville University in St. Louis, which is where I still live. And I have kind of always worked remotely from here. But of course, once graduating college, people are like, well, what are you going to do with that? And some people actually said, hey, you should really look into computer science. You're pretty good with desktop publishing and you seem to really like computers. And here in the Midwest at the time, I was like, I don't know what computer science is. The computer part I like, the science part, right, doesn't sound right like me at all. And so I just kind of, whatever. And, but through kind of graphic design and desktop publishing, found my way into doing software development. So moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, did some things there, worked for a film company. And that's where I did my first startup, or was part of my first startup. I wasn't doing startups. I wasn't that entrepreneurial at the time. But that's where I learned VBScript and ASP and Access and Microsoft SQL Server. I learned how to turn a DEC Alpha server into an NT workstation machine and hosted our own websites off of a T1 connection in a old converted furniture store. All these things that I never thought that I would need to learn, how to pull cable through ceilings and whatnot. So that was my raw start. I ended up, what the startup did was online event broadcasting. So we actually had our own kind of radio station where we broadcast 24/7 stuff, but then we would also go on site. So probably the most adventurous, coolest story from that era of a couple of years went to Moscow, Russia. Ooh. And there was a large event conference there. And this is back when, you remember ISPs, you remember, you know, just like the couple of guys internet that hooked you up writing. Somehow to the internet.
That's right. Yeah. A whole bunch of bailing wire, but
it,
you were online.
You know, but it, absolutely. And it was just, you know, it was, they weren't big name companies, but they were making a killing by getting you online. And so we had this modem connection. But you know, everything I took over there was US based stuff, but, you know, and there, all their tech was Russian. And so we had to figure out what is an RJ11 to whatever the heck they had. And so we were splicing wires. And so, you know, I share all that to say, you know, forging ahead down a path of things that really had no precedent was kind of where my whole career started. And so, you know, you listed off in my bio there, environmental. And most people probably don't even think about environmental within most software development environments, to use the same word over again. And what that means is, like, when you go into a hotel or you go into a, you know, a science center or a, you know, a Disney World for that matter, and you've got all these touch screens and interactive things that are either wayfinding or they're, you know, educational. I used to do a bunch of that stuff, and that was a lot of fun. So, like, for example, we ended up doing this 360 globe spin thing where it's a projector shooting up into a sphere that then paints on the inside of the sphere inverted to you. You're standing outside the sphere watching it all spin, and you have a touch screen and you can interact with it and do all kinds of cool stuff. So anyway, fast forward, I did a bunch of Flash stuff, did a bunch of interactive stuff with that. But all the while I had all that Microsoft, you know, experience. So when .NET came around, there was this .com bubble thing that happened around what, 99, 2000, somewhere in there, 2001. you know, I got let go from the agency I was working at because they're like, we don't have, you know, enough work to pay for you doing all these things. So we're just going to build websites and stuff now, and you go move on. So at the time, I ended up going to work for a healthcare. He was a client of mine. I started my own business and I started doing this healthcare stuff. They had this ASP website and they're like, hey, you know, can you help take this to market? Because it wasn't to market. So I helped do that. And then immediately .NET was out. And so this is, I guess, the 2002 era. And that's when I really got heavily into .NET. And I was like, let's move this whole chunky old VBScript thing over to VB.NET. I don't know if you ever had reason to use VB.NET. It was a lot of fun. It was great. But like all the samples I would find in MSDN Magazine and wherever else was all C#. And I'm like, well, I guess I need to convert everything to C#. And so I did that. And having worked in various languages, I didn't really care. And, you know, whatever the latest thing was, that's what I wanted to be using. And so, you know, that's kind of how I got into C# and .NET. And then spent a lot of time kind of converging worlds, doing a lot of Flash front ends and Adobe Flex front ends with ASP.NET backends, using various different transport protocols to communicate back and forth directly to those backend systems. And then eventually somebody's like, hey, you know, you've been building Objective-C iOS apps. You should probably check out this MonoTouch stuff. And I was like, well, what the heck is MonoTouch? And so, you know, that's like, oh, probably 10 years or more now. Because I think Xamarin's about 10 years old as a product. Xamarin Forms is about 7 years old, a little over or under, I can't remember. And so, yeah, that got me into doing cross-platform mobile iOS and Android stuff using .NET. And I loved it. You know, alt.NET was a thing back then.
Yeah.
This is a whole lot of story for you.
Speaking to my heart. Alt.NET launched in around Austin, Texas.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even really know that, man. I just knew
the first
that it was using
was in Austin.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
I was there. Scott Guthrie launched the MVC prototype there at that conference.
Oh, wow. It was fun. Well, the interesting thing, you know, you can tell me if my interpretation of it is wrong, because I experienced it just in St. Louis, and so I probably put my own definition to it. But for me, it was using all the cool stuff of .NET, but more in an open source way, and kind of, you don't really like Microsoft. You probably could care less about Microsoft as a company. You just wanted to use the cool .NET stuff in an open source way. Is that a fair description for how some people did it?
Well, some people, yes. The whole movement, no. I think there were some people who ended up leaving the .NET platform because they were kind of grumpy. Mm-hmm. But the majority were, hey, our career is based on Microsoft, and we want it to be awesome. And come on, we need to get on the ball with some of these other things.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely resonates with me, because one of the reasons it was interesting, and the reason ASP.NET MVC was interesting, is because I was doing a bunch of Ruby on Rails, and it was like so much easier than anything I had done in web forms. And so I was like, oh man, I wish we could do something more like this. All the while, never really imagining that I would end up in Microsoft with the ability to kind of help shape those future platforms, especially within an open source way. So I'm super pleased to now be part of the .NET team. You know, .NET client apps is kind of just a big catch-all. It's not an official team name. It's a catch-all for, hey, we've got Blazor, we've got .NET MAUI. We cover mobile, desktop, and web. And we're kind of building on the technology we have to shape the future where customers need to be. We're very customer focused, and I can't emphasize that enough. Yeah. If .NET does all this amazing stuff, but nobody needs it or uses it, then that's a huge waste of time. We get tons of satisfaction, and our goal really is, what do you as a customer need to build for your customers or for your business? And how can we prioritize that work and make it successful? So I get so jazzed when I see people doing really, really cool stuff with our technology. Not just cool as in whiz bang cool, but, you know, making a difference for their business, for their people, for their communities. That's what drives us. And if we're not serving those needs, then we're just cashing a paycheck, I guess. I don't know what we're doing.
Right. Well, you mentioned a ton of technologies in that, in just kind of a swath in the last, 2.5 decades of history. And of course there's writings going all the way back to 1959 of software projects and whatnot that listener, if you aren't aware of, Fred Brooks and the Mythical Man Month book and his experience back in 1959 and IBM operating systems and all, just make sure to do a survey of history, because you'll learn so much. And there's so many people listening to the show who are in their first 5-7 years of experience that if you look back, okay, 2000, maybe they got started in 2013. So anything before 2013 wasn't even, you know, relevant. And so you mentioned Flash and Flex and even iOS apps, you know, the first rendition came around before 2010 in a real way. Mm-hmm. And now fast forward to today, the reason there's been so many technologies, in my opinion, is because we haven't actually, as an industry, we haven't solved that problem that's still dogging us. The problem of, I need software to run in all these different places, and I need the process to be reasonably workable instead of just a mountain of effort.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that. But .NET MAUI, .NET 6, if anybody's just, you know, searched and kind of read up on it, they're looking forward to this brand new thing coming at the end of this year. And so for people who haven't completely caught up to speed, give us a quick rundown. What's actually coming out this year?
Right. So what is coming out, .NET 6 is a runtime that already runs on pretty much any OS that you can think of. So it covers Windows, Mac OS, iOS, Android, Linux. You can use it for phone apps. You can use it for desktop. You can use it for web. So .NET as a platform is the runtime and the base class library. So you can share tons of code, if not all of your code, anywhere you need it to run. If it's a console app, it's a server app, if it's an actual GUI app, a graphic user interface. And so what .NET MAUI is it's an abstraction across all those different platforms for whatever the native platform UI library is. So for example, on Windows, we have Project Reunion and WinUI 3, which is the latest and greatest thing out of the Windows team. It tightly integrates with the operating system, but it's also more and more decoupled, which is a cool thing that they're doing. And then on Mac OS, you have both the Cocoa SDK, which is AppKit, and then you have the new Mac Catalyst, which is taking the iOS UI kit and giving you the ability to create essentially your desktop apps using that. And that's really the trend of where we see a lot of things going for desktop there. And so we support that as well as the other path. On Android and iOS, of course, you have the native toolkits there. And so MAUI gives you all of those things with one API, with a lot of holes that you can poke through it when you need to touch the native platform. So it's kind of saying, hey, we're going to give you as much of that surface area as we possibly can, and we're going to continue to fill gaps and expand upon that. But should you ever need to get to what iOS does natively from a security standpoint, from a services standpoint, like as soon as Android comes out in a few days with Android 12 and all the new latest and greatest Google things, you immediately have access to that stuff as soon as we ship a binding for it. Bindings is a whole other technical thing, but essentially you can think of it as being able to use .NET to touch the native SDK without writing Java or without writing Kotlin or without writing Objective-C or Swift. So fundamentally, yeah, .NET MAUI, you write one app and it's going to run natively on Android, iOS, Mac OS, and Windows. And you know, there's so much more you can do with it, and maybe we'll touch on some of those things, but that's what you're getting in November. And it is new in the sense that it's a new offering with new architecture and things like that, but it's also very battle-tested and proven because it's based on the Xamarin technology that's been around for 7 years as Xamarin Forms, and for years before that as Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. So it's not coming out of nowhere, which I think is great. It's also not reinventing the wheel, which I think is great. It's taking what we've learned over those years and saying, okay, this went really, really well. I mean, heck, we've survived, dozens of, well, not dozens. That's a gross exaggeration. But how many versions of iOS and how many versions of Android? Well, we can count, 12 just came out for Android. 15 is about to come out for iOS. And we've been around for most all of those. And so we've seen the UI go from, beveled edges and gradients everywhere to completely flat and lifeless to now something kind of in between. And if you've built your app with Xamarin Forms, which ports straight to MAUI, you have survived all of those without having to rewrite your application. Whereas if you had written it in other technologies, you would have had to have rewritten it and done all kinds of other things. So that's kind of,
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
For people who haven't done any Xamarin Forms whatsoever, because I imagine people who are already on Xamarin, they probably read up about MAUI and they're really poised. Maybe they're even using the previews. For people who haven't even done anything with Xamarin, is the message, hey, your C# code now goes to Android, iOS, Mac, all these other places, or is it more nuanced than that?
So absolutely, that is the easy way to think about it. I would say your .NET code, right? Because you could use F#. Sure. You can use XAML or not use XAML, whether or not you prefer to use an XML-based markup language. Or you can write it all in C#. Originally, Xamarin Forms 7 years ago had no XAML. And then shortly before, I think 1.0 added XAML because it was kind of a, why not? This will be familiar to Windows desktop developers. And so that's how we got that. But it's totally not required. It's totally optional. And we know a lot of, you know, like 20, 25% of developers like to just write C# and totally happy with that. On the F# side with Fabulous, a great framework out there that is model view update based, kind of based on the Elm architecture. Love to just write everything in F#, and they have their own baked-in hot reload, which is super productive. So yeah, you write your .NET code and it runs on Android, iOS, macOS, and Windows. And you're a happy camper and you saved a bunch of money on writing storyboards and other platform-specific layout mechanisms that you just never need to worry about.
Okay. So if someone was going to try out MAUI today, is it a, hey, maybe wait for another preview? Or do you think the preview is stable enough to where someone can start prototyping an application they intend to write later on this year?
Right. So there's kind of two parts to that. I would say wait. So here's really where things stand right now. So preview 4 is kind of in the hopper. It's about ready to ship of .NET 6. Okay. So you have the SDK side of things, the .NET runtime, the base class library, the MAUI bits. that's one side of the equation. And there is enough there in preview 4 that you can build pretty much anything you need to build. Some things you'll be using compatibility features. And by compatibility features, that means we are in the process of porting that code to .NET MAUI for architectural reasons, for performance reasons. And we're really excited about that. But we're not going to leave the Xamarin Forms customers behind. So we've created this compatibility adapter, essentially. So the SDKs, you can build anything you want to. However, your tooling experience, your Visual Studio experience is not there yet. So to be able to use Hot Reload, both the XAML Hot Reload and .NET Hot Reload, which is your C#, and at some point, once all these things ship, it'll just be one Hot Reload and we'll stop making a distinction between them. But the thing is that XAML Hot Reload's in the market today. C# Hot Reload with .NET Hot Reload, which covers console apps, covers Blazor apps, covers obviously MAUI apps. That is a new offering for Visual Studio. That stuff has yet to really come through and be market ready for prototyping. So look for previews in mid to late June for those things. And once you see that combination of productive tooling in preview plus the .NET MAUI preview bits, then you have something where I would say, yeah, go build stuff. Now, having said all of that, if you like the command line experience and you don't give a rip about editors and you want to go flex your VS Code or your Notepad skills, Notepad++, I guess, then you could totally be doing that today. All you need is the MAUI check utility, which is a .NET tool from our lead engineer on the MAUI team. That will go grab all of the SDKs and all of the templates and everything you need. And from there, you can just do a .NET new MAUI app from the command line, and it will give you a template. It will give you a running app, and you're off to the races. So it's not the typical experience that a lot of Xamarin or .NET developers are used to, but it's a very familiar experience if you've done much open source development and use the command line regularly.
Sure. All right. So this being a DevOps show, let's talk about how to prep the local environment and build and test and package and deploy and monitor just the whole chain. It's a new application type, different things going on.
Yeah. Just
give a rundown of what that process looks like with this new technology. Starting out with, what do we have to have locally on the computer? Let's say, you know, iOS. Do we have to have a Mac? Like, you know, Xamarin is long required for to start.
Well, technically, it's an APL requirement, so let's just get that out of the way.
Yes,
yeah. We are good. We're good citizens and good partners with APL, so we abide by what is required. So the good news is to actually build an iOS app just from a DevOps to produce the iOS app. You don't actually need the Mac. You can do all the building on the Windows machine. But in order to do the code signing and things like that to distribute that product, you do need the Mac. So what that means is, what do you need on your machine? You need the .NET runtime, the .NET SDKs for iOS, for Android. And then you would also want the you'd also want the MAUI SDK. So these are all individual installs. And today with Preview 4, that's the value of that MAUI check tool that I just mentioned. Once you've installed that puppy, it's going to go off and just do all that work for you. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, because it's really the best way as of Preview 4. Once we get to Preview 5, the .NET installer will support all of that work for you. So you just tell the .NET installer, yes, I want to build MAUI apps, and it will go ahead and install your environment based on that. But we're waiting for that workload installer bit to be finalized. It just barely missed the Preview 4 mark. So for now, you have the MAUI check tool. So yeah, you need the .NET runtime, the .NET SDK, you need the iOS, Android, whatever platform specific SDKs you're building for. And then of course, since you're going to use MAUI because it's the most productive way to build mobile and desktop apps with .NET, you're going to want to have the MAUI bits as well. And then once you have that, yeah, you can build from the command line, or you can build from your CI. The good news is, you mentioned it's a new app type. Kind of, but not really, because what has happened is Xamarin had its own app type, its own CS proj, which I like to call the Franken proj, because it was this Frankensteinian amalgamation of SDK style and whatever they needed to make things work inside of Visual Studio. Because, you know, to remind folks, at the time, all that stuff was conceived and built for .NET Framework. This was before the acquisition of Xamarin by Microsoft. So there was a lot of collaboration with the .NET and the MS Build teams, but things still had to kind of get shoehorned in there. Now that we're all one happy family, things can be much more cohesive. So what you actually get in .NET 6 for MAUI is the SDK style or short form project, right? So it's a much more standard, well, it is a standardized project. So anything you're building with .NET shares all the same tooling, shares all the same bits. So yeah, you don't need a Mac just to build, but you're going to need a Mac somewhere, somehow, to do your code signing and to generate the final iOS bits. Android's a different story. And this is also the value of that MAUI check utility. It's not just grabbing the .NET bits, it's grabbing the dependencies from the platforms. So for example, when you're developing an Android app, you need the actual Android SDK and build tools and emulators, right, et cetera. Right. We don't host and provide that stuff. We provide the .NET binding for it, but you need to somehow acquire that. So you could go get the Android Studio install, and you could go download all the Xcode stuff on your Mac. But the MAUI check tool actually handles that stuff for you as well.
Okay.
Nice. Which is pretty sneaky and slick.
So I'm assuming compilation process, since it's just a .NET 6, you just do .NET EXE and or Visual Studio, right? Nothing special or different about that process.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're a developer developing apps, you're going to be using Visual Studio. That's your happy path. That's where you're going to have everything you need. You're doing your CLI and whatnot. Yeah, it's the same .NET commands that you issue for anything else. .NET build. You do pass it a framework moniker. So we have the target framework monikers for .NET 6. It looks like it's a string, something like .NET 6-iOS, .NET 6-Android or Mac Catalyst. Or I haven't seen the Windows ones recently, but they're kind of longer, if I remember correctly, because you end up needing to tell it which version of Windows you're building for, et cetera.
Okay.
But those really tell the build task here's the platform you're building for. Here's the architecture you're building for. But it's all the same .NET tooling that you use for anything else, which is super exciting because that means for .NET developers, if you know how to do it for ASP.NET, you know how to do it for console apps. Now you also know how to do it for Android and iOS and macOS and Windows.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay, so let's keep on going down the chain for testing. Now for .NET standard code, in unit and XUnit work great.
Yes.
But what's the full system test story where you have the full application and maybe there's some different things about the devices or right. the emulators. What's the testing story beyond just unit testing or lower level integration testing?
Right. So I think that's where UI tests is the dominant way of testing your application. So we do have the old Xamarin UI tests library. However, that's kind of in flux in terms of updates for newer versions of Android and iOS. So what we see a lot of customers doing and what even the Maui team is doing is moving towards adopting Appium for UI tests. And you can script out your test to pretty much any scenario of using your application you would need to. Probably the hardest bits within that are anything accessibility related. That's just really hard to test in an automated fashion. But there are some improvements that we have been working on related to that, at least in terms of the accessibility properties as we expose them. Because right now, they kind of, in Xamarin Forms, they conflict with some other automation things. And so we're improving that whole story. So yeah, UI test or Appium. UI test is nice because then you can stay in C# the whole time. Appium, you end up doing some different things. I don't know if it's JavaScript based, probably. Anything open source is probably JavaScript based like that. But yeah, that's where the rest of the testing story for integration tests and whatnot ends up taking over. You can run on your own headless system for running those tests. You could also adopt Test Cloud up in App Center, which has hosted emulators and hosted devices. Well, they have hosted devices. I think that they have hosted emulators. If they don't, they should, because that's a whole lot cheaper. Or you could do that yourself. We have a lot of companies that say, well, we only do on-prem device testing and emulators is sufficient. It's close enough, kind of is the attitude. From a cost perspective. And so they will stand up their own farm of machines that have hosted emulators for the different specs that they require. And then they will run their tests that way.
Okay. Now you mentioned App Center. But a lot of listeners are also using Azure Pipelines. And
yeah.
So Xamarin and App Center have long kind of had a close relationship. What's the Maui team using for testing the test applications? What is that chain for packaging and deploying to actual devices or even keeping track of builds that may be deployed?
So we use Azure Pipelines. We also have jobs within there that will call out to App Center for App Center specific things like running our UI tests on devices within App Center Test Cloud. As a matter of fact, all of our Azure pipelines are accessible and open. They're all public. There might be one or two that are private for whatever reasons. But all the stuff up on our GitHub, you can go find any green or red mark against a PR or commit, and you can go download the NuGet artifacts based off of that stuff, which most people don't know about our build systems.
That's awesome.
It's totally cool. And the same thing goes for our iOS and Android SDKs. It's all open source and always has been. And ever since we've been using Azure Pipelines for all of our builds, it's all publicly available. So you kind of need to know your way around the interface, but it's still pretty darn easy to get to. So we use all of that.
Okay. So App Center, absolutely necessary in this world. Is what I'm hearing.
Azure, DevOps, Azure Pipelines. I don't know. It's all names to me at this point. Don't they all use the same technology?
No one tool. I mean, no one tool is going to do it all. But it's, correct me if I'm wrong, you're orchestrating with Azure Pipelines, but you're delegating to App Center for things that only App Center really does well.
Right, right. And you know, the more that GitHub lights up in terms of these things, because they are part of the family as well, we are adopting more and more of that too.
Yeah, they're
on the move. So I think that that's kind of the trend, if I understand correctly, of where things are going to end up going. As GitHub lights up more of those features, then that's where, certainly for us who host everything on GitHub, it makes a lot of sense for us to be adopting more of those features as opposed to non-GitHub features.
Sure. But I haven't heard rumblings that GitHub is going to create their own mobile test cloud or create their own mobile telemetry suite. I mean, App Center has some really cool things. And I don't think that GitHub is wanting to just duplicate App Center. Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, they definitely are not wanting to duplicate it. But I think that where there are, I mean, I'm totally speaking just as me.
This is what I've heard.
I don't know anything. But if I had to guess, which I probably shouldn't do, but you know, if there is duplication, then that duplication will not be long lived, I guess is the way to say it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for us to be investing in the same thing in multiple places, because then we lose the bang for the buck to our customers.
Right.
So there will be consolidations at some point. It would make sense to me.
Okay.
But I don't know. But other than that, I don't know anything.
So let's end on telemetry and logging and just knowing what's happening with your software is out there in the wild. App Center had some things like that, but what for the release Visual Studio 2020 and everything, what is going to be the story for, hey, use this in order to know what your software is doing?
That's a great question. I don't think I have a good answer for that. I should probably go get a good answer for that. Because all the names of the third-party stuff that I have used in the past has totally escaped me at this point. I mean, we certainly have used App Center and continue to use App Center in some of our demos.
Well, it's been around for a while, so.
Yeah, it has been around for a while. Story. You get good information from that, especially the managed and the unmanaged crash dumps, which are important. But there are also some great third parties out there, I know, that we recommend them regularly. I just, unfortunately, the names are all escaping me. I don't know of any new guidance that I would recommend, but I can absolutely tell you that Alex Blount and the Microsoft Mobile Customer Advisory Team, if you've never interviewed them and had them on your show,
sounds like I'm gonna
you need to have them. So Alex leads that team. They're pros. They work directly with .NET customers building mobile and desktop, and I think even just like Azure DevOps stuff at this point. They're the ones who are like, oh man, they know exactly which utilities, which services, et cetera, to recommend. Whereas I spend most of my time with the Maui product team, just making sure that you can build apps,
right.
Let alone test them.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, you should definitely have them on one, either him or one of his cohorts.
Gotcha. All right. Well, definitely will. All right. We are out of time. So David, man, thanks so much for sharing all that with us. Are there any go-to resources? People just intrigued and they want to jump in and learn more right away. Where should they head to next?
Absolutely. So for sure, check out .NET/Maui on GitHub. That is where all the activity is. And the wiki has links to any, you know, current status, project boards, et cetera. That is the hub. Beyond that, for sure, check out the .NET YouTube channel where we have a monthly community stand-up. We are always giving updates on Maui and having engineers and partner teams join us to talk about our progress on .NET 6. Of course, the .NET blog. You're going to get the regular updates there as we release previews. We'll talk about what's new in it for Maui developers and .NET app developers. I think between those, you should know what's going on. And if you don't, feel free to hit me up on Twitter and ask me anything directly. I'm more than happy to do my very best to answer.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, David, for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I appreciate it. This was really good. Yeah. Woohoo!
That's right.
.NET Maui. .NET Maui, all the things. Go get it now.
And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.